All right. Our final media availability of the day is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing and the winner of last week's Coca-Cola 600. Kyle, obviously a dominant statement performance for the number 18 team last week. What kind of momentum, you know, does that kind of afford you guys heading into Pocono, a track that you almost won at last year, and what's your kind of outlook for the weekend?
Last time I checked, we did win here. Right?
Spring race.
Last year. Okay. Got it? All right. I don't know where they get these rookies from. Overall, looking forward to the weekend. It's certainly been, pretty good last few races here at Pocono, being the defending winner of the fall race. It certainly is pretty cool to come back here and try to do it again, especially after last week and the momentum that we've kind of had on our side for the year and especially from last week. So, every week's a new week. Every week's different. We always just try to keep improving and continuing to build up our performance and keep it going for the rest of this regular season.
All right, we'll open things up to the floor here. Start with Jeff.
Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com. You know, obviously you and Harvick are dominating the season, but I feel like we haven't really seen you guys race straight up much together. Like, you'll win, and he might have a bad day, or on your off days, he's more up front. Are you anticipating, as the season goes along, you guys are super close to playoff points, are you guys going to clash or run into each other at some point?
If you're looking for the banging doors and fenders and things like that and running one another hard for a win, there's too much to lose in car performance and doing that sort of stuff, you know? So Phoenix, I thought we ran pretty hard with one another. We were kind of nose to tail for much of that race, and then I had a bad pit stop at the end, and he kind of got out, and we weren't able to battle it out to the finish, like you mentioned. But, Kansas, we were off. I don't even remember where else. We were second best, third best at California, and that's when Truex was lights out, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you haven't had exciting 1, 2, 3 guys mixing it up back and forth for the lead, stuff like that kind of going on. I'm not sure why. It's just kind of circumstances the way it's working out right now, you know. Truex was pretty equal to what we were last week. We were certainly – cruising there at the end, but Martin was just as fast as we were, the four was pretty quick early. Never got a chance to fully see what he had going on, but one of these times, I'm sure throughout the season, it's going to be about coming down to racing the fastest car, and each of us are going to have our own way in being able to do that and having to figure out who's going to win.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires.net and Performance Racing Network. It's been a week. Have you thought about your place in the history books with getting on the wins at all the tracks now, active tracks? And I'll have another follow-up for that.
I think it's just special. You know, it's just something that has never been done. And, it's hard to find things that have never been done in this sport. It's been around for a long, long time. And so it's very meaningful and special, and something that I've kind of strived for, you know. So whenever you're able to achieve your goals, reach your goals, then, it makes you feel better about what's going on, and it's a special thing for my team. You know, there's a lot that Adam Stevens puts into helping me continue to reach my goals, and he takes a lot of pride in that, as well as the rest of our team guys as well. So we just got to keep doing our deal and executing, and we'll see where the wins come next.
And also a big day, Sam's birthday. So any special plans for her? You guys got anything going on?
I can't tell you everything. We're in Pocono, by the way. So apparently this was the honeymoon capital of the world in the 70s or something. I think they're stuck in the 70s. There's a few nice restaurants around here. I'm sure we'll find something to do. We just had birthday week, though, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday in New York City. So we were up there and kind of checking it all out and taking in the sights and doing some nice dinners and some nice things around there. Had Brexton with us. So, good little family trip, quick trip.
And we'll go to Mike next.
Mike Henry, USA Today. Kyle, when you have a blowout race like you had last week, is it reasonably evident to you 10, 20, 30 laps into the start of the race that you have a car that's maybe a couple of levels above what you might have anticipated, that you sort of know if things work out, you're going to lead the race like that?
Yes and no. I mean, there's been times where I've thought we've had cars like that, and then, you know, we taper off and we're not able to be a guy like that. You know, we certainly have other guys come up and challenge us and take the lead and lead laps and whatnot. I can't think of any examples. You know, Eric Jones and I went back and forth a little bit last fall at Bristol, you know, where I thought we were really good, but he would take the lead and drive away, you know, and then there's other times too, like earlier this year at Bristol again, Larson did the same thing. You know, I thought we were really good, but Larson took the lead and kind of drove away. So, you know, it's just all about continuing on throughout your race and executing and doing the right job and doing the right things, keeping up with the track changes and stuff, because you can't just sit there and think that a race is going to fall into your lap. You got to keep working for it.
All right, we'll go to Reed up front.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. With the track sweep complete now, what's next on your wish list?
Icing on the cake. Just keep winning and keep adding to it. You know, obviously, I think the first one that comes up would be everybody wants to make my life more difficult, so I'm sure that I won't be credited for all the racetracks once the Roval gets here, so that would certainly be the next one that comes up. It's in the same vicinity. You know, Richard Petty's won 13 races at Richmond, right? But nobody characterizes the dirt track versus the pavement track being different. So, whatever. It's my life. So, we'll just keep going, keep trying to win in it. And, the Roval's next. And then after that, it's about the Daytona 500 and trying to get that one. You know, it's took another guy that's very, very popular 20 years to get it done. So, I'd like to think it won't take me that long, although I'm creeping up on that number. So, we'll see how soon we can get that one accomplished.
I'll go to Scott up front here, and then we'll go to Zach.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times Tribune. Kyle, you're also doing the Xfinity Series race here this weekend. Your thoughts on after practice with the new package that they're using?
It's slow. It takes a long time to get around here. And, you know, it's got a little bit of a reward for a draft or a, you know, an opportunity to close up on a guy down the straightaway, but not as much as I was hoping for or expecting. And it has a lot of turbulence in the air when you get into turn one, when you get into turn three. It makes the cars all over the place, at least ours right now. We got to work on that. We're pretty fast, but, you know, the car doesn't drive very good when we get in traffic. So, you know, if mine's really fast and doesn't drive very good in traffic, I can't imagine what everybody else's is, you know. So we'll see what happens in the race this weekend. I'm not sure we're going to get what we all expect to get.
All right, we'll go to Zach.
Zach Sterniola, Pocono Record. You mentioned Eric Jones earlier in the fight that you had with him at Bristol for the win last year. He's a guy that kind of stands out as someone who can kind of break through and steal a win here sooner or later. I don't know if it'd be stealing a win, but I feel like there was a lot of hype on the young drivers coming into the season, and you and Kevin Harvick have kind of doused that pretty well. Do you feel like there's one or two or more than that of the young guys who can come out here and grab their first career win soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about competition in this sport, whether you're old, whether you're young. And, you know, to be able to go out there and win races, you just got to beat the best. And who's the best of that day, of the season? It kind of seems like it's the 4 and the 18 and some of the 78. I think the 78 is going to be fine. They're going to get back to hopefully not as much normalcy as we saw out of them last year, but, you know, a bit more competitive. They seem to still have fast race cars, obviously. And, you know, I think the young guys are they're on the brink. They're on the cusp. It's just a matter of when that happens. So, you know, if you ask me who, I would like to think that Eric Jones would be first, you know, of the young guys to win. But as we saw here last year, Ryan Blaney hit it right, and he was able to go to victory lane. Chase Elliott's been fast more times than not. I feel like over the last 2 years of the Hendrick camp, even over the 48, so he could be a guy. And it seems like the 88's kind of getting the feel of things right now with Bowman. So, you know, it's about being competitive and just getting everything right and having the stars kind of align. And, you know, eventually they'll get there.
Go to Claire next.
Claire Beilang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. They say at this track that you either you get the feel of it and it's your kind of track and you know how to race it, or you don't, and then it takes a long time. Sometimes young drivers get it right away, and sometimes it takes a veteran to do it right. What was your first experience at this track, or how you learned to navigate it? Lots of shifting, crazy turns. You know, what was it about this track when you initially encountered it?
When I first got here for the first time in Cup, it was exciting for me because I thought I did pretty well on road courses and whatnot. And, you know, you kind of people talk about this place being like a road course. It's just an oval. You make all left-hand turns to get around it. But, you know, for coming here the first time, I think I ran third or fourth or something. So it wasn't bad. I actually was pretty excited, pretty pumped up about that. And then it didn't go so well after that for a while. So, you know, it certainly seemed like anything that I knew or that I learned, it certainly didn't last. And as this place is, as we've gone through car changes, car iterations, Goodyear's gone through changes, the engines, we were here for a period without shifting at all, you know, and then shifting's kind of come back. And, you know, also with the track repave and things like that. So there's been a lot of just things that change here. And it seems like I finally kind of caught on to it at 3-4 years ago, maybe, that we've been really fast here and have been able to knock down some top fives every time we come here and have shots for the win. It's hard. It's a challenging track. I don't think it's hard necessarily physically. You got long straightaways and sweeping corners. It's just a matter of what's hard about it is making speed and making that speed last here for a long time. I'd always be fast for a lap or two, and then I wouldn't be fast anymore. So it's that's kind of what a big deal is about this place, because there's such it's such a big lap, and there's a lot of lap time that can be either gained or lost. In one little slip up.
We'll go here in the back. Right in front of you. Yep.
Kyle, Keith Greller from the Morning Call in Allentown. Great football coaches often use this, like, it's us against the world mentality. And it seems to work for a lot of football coaches, like the one you work for. Do you kind of bring that mentality to the racetrack that it's us against the world, and we don't give a hoot, you know, what anybody says about us? We're going to go out there, we're going to perform to the best of our. Did you thrive on that kind of a mentality?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I think that when you come to the racetrack and you have a team, like my 18 team, you know, it is us collectively as a group, but we also have us as Joe Gibbs Racing as well too, that we work with, and we try to help make each other better and stronger. And I feel like we have a strong team in doing that. I've pushed Denny an awful lot over the years, and Denny's pushed me an awful lot over the years, and it's made us a pretty good duo. But once you get onto the racetrack on Sunday and you strap your helmet on and you come down, especially towards the end of the race, it's every man for himself. You know, it's me against the world. It's me against everybody else. And you know, sometimes you're against your critics as well too, that you have to deal with, and I think all of us have those. And seems as though, you know, those voices have gotten louder over the last few years, just with reachability, let's call it, with social media and things like that. So you know, I don't think you necessarily saw those things in the 90s and in the 80s and in the 70s, but I could say that it's the philosophy of us against the world's been around about forever in sports.
All right, we got one more question over here.
Yeah, Kyle. Bob Capasso, BRC 13. This used to be, not long ago, a 500-mile grind. Now it's 400 and stages. How different is it racing here at Pocono from the 500 miles to the 400 and stages now?
I tell you what, for me, from my vantage point, it's a lot more enjoyable. You know, years ago with the 500-mile race and being stretched out, and when you don't have a good car, or even when you do have a good car sometimes, it's just like, holy cow, like, we're halfway, that's it. Where now it's actually, you know, the stages kind of break it up a little bit. You get a little bit of the strategy plays its way into the race, because you're going to – sometimes you'll pit before the caution comes out and kind of do like a road course thing where you'll jump – the field and stage points being important. The lead guys are going to stay out and try to get those stage points where some of the other people might pit. So then they have an opportunity to be ahead of the field when you go back green, and vice versa. Just every scenario is different. You know, sometimes you have to throw away a stage, if you will, if you're leading and you got a pit with a couple to go in order to set yourself up for that final stage to win the race. So it's all about where you're at and kind of what's going on. So definitely keeps the crew chiefs on their toes. And as a driver, when you're thinking about some of that as you're racing around there, kind of keeps you on your toes as well, too, about what you got to do and how you can strategize the rest of your race from behind the wheel.
All right. Any more questions? We'll go Jeff, and then that'll be our last question.
What is it about Adam Stevens that you're able to work so well with him and that you guys have such good chemistry? What is it about, like, his personality or the way he does his job?
I don't know. You know, when Adam and I were slated to work together on the Xfinity side, I was really excited to work with him. I knew that him and Logano had kind of had this bit of chemistry that had really worked well for him, and I wasn't sure that I would fit into the mold. I'm not sure who he gives credit to or whatnot on who kind of trained him or raised him, but he was Zippy's guy for a long time, you know. So he's got a definite fire and drive to him as well, too, and a passion like myself. There's been a few pit boxes that have seen the wrath of Adam Stevens' fist over the course of the years, you know. So one of our teams, the Xfinity team years ago, actually got him a pair of boxing gloves to wear during the race. You know, it's just the amount of dedication and the amount of drive that he and I both share, I think what makes us so strong. You know, a lot of different guys have a lot of different ways about going about their business. I think Rodney Childers is very unique in the way he goes about his business. It's very chill, it's very lax, you know, and yet they get the job done very well. And Adam and myself, you know, we tend to look pretty good sometimes at being able to do our job well. And I'll be mad one day, and he'll be talking to me about why I'm mad, and then he'll be mad another day, and I'll be asking him about why he's mad, you know. So we kind of fit within each other a little bit and definitely feed off each other and push each other to continue to be stronger and be better.
All right. Thanks for the time, Kyle.